This morning's sermon is called Jesus and the Good News from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 10 through 21, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Jesus and the Good News. Isn't it nice hearing some good news? Right? It sure is. This is actually great news. We're getting double good because we missed last Sunday. We're going to have to do double good news. Last sermon, not last Sunday. I had to make sure I noted that. I'm used to saying last Sunday. Last sermon, we read about a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader of the Pharisees. He was a ruler in Jerusalem. He was part of the Sanhedrin, which is a group of 70 men who ruled in Jerusalem politically and religiously. He was also a theological professor, and he was a very wealthy man with a lot of power during these times with the Jewish people. Although Nicodemus belonged to a false religious system, he believed in a human achievement gospel, which is a false gospel. Many religions in the world still believe in this human achievement gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. The problem with the human achievement gospel, besides being false, is the people who believe in this type of gospel are always seeking to establish their own self-righteousness instead of submitting to the righteousness of God. Scripture is clear on that. This man, by the name of Nicodemus, he started having doubts about his false religion. He started to wonder if he was missing something. He saw the miracles that Jesus did, and in his heart, he started to wonder if Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah that they have been waiting for. So he went to Jesus to get some answers, as we read in our last sermon. His curious heart, his hungry heart, led him to Jesus, and this is the type of heart that Jesus responds to. A hungry heart for the Lord leads to life. A curious heart for the Lord leads to life. A saving belief, a saving faith leads to life. Last sermon, Nicodemus went to Jesus by night, the scripture says, and it says, Rabbi. He said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And before Nicodemus gets to ask a question, Jesus answers him because he already knew what was on Nicodemus's mind and he already knew what was in Nicodemus's heart. So before Nicodemus even gets to ask the Lord answers him. He says, Nicodemus, I know why you have come to me. Nicodemus, this is how one finds life. The words that Nicodemus heard that night astonished him. And these words from Jesus divides all humanity into two groups. Those who have become born again and those who have not. Jesus told Nicodemus in our passage last sermon, he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus in verse 3, verse 5, and verse 7, you must be born again. You must be born from above, Nicodemus. The new birth comes down from heaven, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus cannot believe this because he believes in a human achievement gospel. Nicodemus, it's not willpower, it's not religion, it's not trying harder. You must born again, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after Nicodemus heard this, he said to Jesus in verse 9 of our last sermon, he says, how can these things be? Born again, what? How can these things be? So let's pick up in verse 10 of our passage as this conversation continues on. And Jesus, you're going to notice, he's going to do all the talking now. And Nicodemus is going to do all the listening. We're going to look at verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Nicodemus, the Old Testament prophets wrote about this. You're the teacher in Jerusalem. The prophet Ezekiel wrote about the new birth. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about the new birth becoming born again. This is why Jesus says, Nicodemus, are you the teacher in Jerusalem and you do not know these things? These prophets talked about becoming born again. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the new birth. I'm going to give you new heart, new spirit. How do you not know these things, Nicodemus? These Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were so caught up in their religious works, their rituals, their traditions, their own made doctrines, their own self-imposed rules, they were blind to the truth. They were blind to the truth. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but lost in his false religion. He is what you call an unconverted believer. This is what this man was. At this time, he does come to Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Jesus is saying, I am telling you and the other religious leaders what I know, and you do not receive my witness. I am telling you and the other religious leaders what I eternally know, and you have not accepted my testimony. I have come to you, Nicodemus, with the truth, eternal truth that I have always known, that proceeds from me as the eternal Son of God, and you have not accepted my testimony. Told Nicodemus, if I told you earthly things and you do not understand, how will you understand if I tell you about heavenly things, spiritual things? Nicodemus, I gave you a simple earthly illustration and you do not understand. How will you understand and believe in the heavenly things? I have told you the truth about salvation. It's a divine miracle from God, not of works. Jesus turns Nicodemus' theology upside down. Upside down. All his life, he thought he could earn his salvation through his works and his deeds. He believed in a human achievement gospel, which many people do believe in. They still tie their works to their salvation, as if Jesus didn't do enough. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 3. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They're seeking after their own righteousness instead of submitting to the righteousness of God. We see this all the time. We see this all the time in the world we live in, right? People believe in a human achievement gospel, right? If my good outweighs my bad, I'm all set. Right? You guys met people like that? You ever, right? You ever said to somebody, "Hey man, you need Jesus." And they said, "What? What do I need Jesus for? I don't need a savior. I'm not a sinner. What the heck's the matter with you?" Have you met people like that? Well, you're not sharing your faith enough then. Because they're out there. We see this all the time. I'm all set. What do you mean? I'm a good person. They compare themselves to other people, not to God. You know what happens? They watch the news. They watch the news. They see some guy kills five people. You know what they do? "That guy's a sinner, not me. You crazy?" They compare themselves to other people. But Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and me. All. No one's exempt. Salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift from above. And all those who repent and believe and come to Christ shall be saved. We can't earn it. We definitely don't deserve it. It's a gift from God to all those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. We are not saved by works. We are saved by the works of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's important for you to understand. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the works of Christ. We're saved by His works on the cross. And Jesus continued in verse 13 through 15. And he says, "No one ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven." Now listen to this really carefully. Verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up," I want you to keep those two words in your mind, "lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must," you see that, "must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus says, "I am the only one who has come down from heaven, Nicodemus, and the message that I bring to you is that salvation is a gift of God. It's God working in the heart of the believer. Gift from God to all those who truly believe. And we receive this gift by faith. Salvation is by faith. Saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 14 in our passage here that's on the wall, it says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must," you see that word in your scriptures? "Must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus brought up Numbers chapter 21 as an illustration to Nicodemus because Nicodemus should have known this chapter because he is a teacher in Jerusalem. Jesus said he's not a teacher. Did you catch that? He said he's the teacher. Not a teacher. He's the teacher. So Jesus is quoting Old Testament scriptures to him. And Nicodemus, you remember Numbers 21, right? If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to go to this chapter. Numbers chapter 21. Fourth book in the Bible, in case you forgot. Ouch. Just kidding. Fourth book of the Bible. I want you to go to Numbers 21 and see this. This is incredible. And Jesus quotes this to Nicodemus. We're going to go to verse 6. I'll give you a minute there. We'll go through this. I'm going to read Numbers 21, 6 through 9. Listen carefully or look carefully through your scriptures. Now, this is now... Just to give you a little backstory on this before we jump into this. The people, Israel, was rebelling against the Lord and Moses, okay? This is why this we're going to read this. It'll make more sense to you, okay? So let's pick up in verse 6. It says, "So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away these serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.'" You see where this is going, right? Verse 9. "So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. In the scriptures, bronze or brass, when you come across that, speaks of judgment. So when you read that in the scriptures, bronze or brass, that symbolizes judgment. The serpent was a symbol of sin. In the same way, Jesus bore our sin and our judgment on the cross. And if we look up towards him, we will be healed as well. You see the picture, right? We'll be healed as well. And we will not die. Listen, we will not die from the poison of sin. This is the illustration, Jesus. You remember this, right, Nicodemus? You're the teacher. Numbers 21, he quotes it to him. Right? Jesus bore our sins and our judgment on the cross so that we could be saved, right? 2 Corinthians, right, 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The point of this illustration is lifted up. Lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the snake on the pole, right? And whoever looked up at that would live physically back then. Okay? Those who look up at Christ on the cross, who was lifted up for us, we will live spiritually and eternally. They lived physically. We live spiritually and eternally. So far, if you've been paying attention in this chapter, chapter 3, we've been going through, so far Jesus told us, listen, Jesus said we must be born again. Amen? And now he tells us the Son of Man must be lifted up. Must. 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 In order to become born again, the Son of Man must be lifted up, which he was at the crucifixion. Jesus says the Son of Man must be lifted up before you must be born again, so that you can become born again. Now, as the children of Israel were bitten by these poisonous snakes, if they looked up at the pole, they would live and not die. All of us have been bitten by the poison, right, of sin. And as long as we look to Jesus, look up at the cross, we will be healed. But if untreated, we will die for all of eternity. If untreated, it will kill you for all of eternity. That's how important it is to look up at the cross. If you want to meet God, you're going to have to go to the cross. Because that's where Jesus gave his life for you, at the cross. You know what Jesus is telling us in the scripture here? Jesus is telling us, I want you to keep your eyes on the sacrifice I made for you. And if you do, you will live. This is what our Savior is telling us in the scripture right here. You look up to my sacrifice and you'll live. Powerful. Remember, Jesus is talking about becoming born again. He's talking about becoming born again. He's talking about the new birth, right, which is spiritual, not physical. Spiritual. Jesus is talking about we will live spiritually and eternally. You remember what Jesus said in John 6, 63? He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus went on to say, the words that I tell you, I speak in spirit. Spiritually. Right? Not physical. Listen, not physical, right? Our physical body eventually is going to go back to the ground where it came from. There's no getting around it, you and me. Eventually we're going back to the ground where we came from. But our soul, our spirit, who we really are, goes on to live forever. It goes on to live forever. That's who you really are. Your soul, your spirit is who you are. The scriptures are clear. You will go on to live forever after this life, either in heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what the scripture tells us. Our soul is who we really are. We never die. We will never die. Your soul, your thinking, your spirit will never die. You'll go on to live for eternity, either in one or two places, hell or heaven. Jesus has been talking about being spiritually alive in him all throughout this. This is what he's telling Nicodemus. He sees Nicodemus, right? We read, right? Nicodemus must have had a real baffled look on his face, right? Remember Jesus said, hey, Nicodemus, don't marvel that I tell you these things. You're the teacher. Listen to me. This is how one gets life. You must be born again. You must be born from above, born of God. We read that back in John 1:13, right? He said, born of God. That means born again, right? It's a supernatural work of God. Listen, in the heart of the believer. It's a supernatural work of God in the heart of the believer. God does the work. God changes us from the inside out, right? Your desire to come to church today wasn't from you. You may think so. You may try to steal God's glory. You're here because God has changed your heart. He's given you the desire to be here. God changes the believer from the inside out, and your desires change. Right? Remember I said before, the sinful things that you once loved to do, you now hate. And the righteous things that you used to hate to do, you now love to do. Right? That's God. That's the work of God in you. Saving faith produces good works to the glory of God. God does the work in the believer. He just says, come to me with all your heart. I'll do the rest. He who has begun a good work in you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Jesus said, look at verse 15 in this passage. I think 15 is still up there, yeah? Look at this right here. Here's some great news. Whoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. Notice Jesus said, whoever. Now, listen, he's telling Nicodemus this, and he's talking to us through the scripture, because Nicodemus thought that only the nation of Israel could be saved. So when Nicodemus says, hey, Nicodemus, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. You know what he's telling Nicodemus? Jews and Gentiles. He says, whoever. Whoever. This must have blown Nicodemus' mind. All his life he only thought the Jews could be in heaven. So he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean, whoever? Even the guy over there that went to the temple, he beat on his chest and repented? Yeah, him too. Beat on his chest, have mercy on me, Lord. Yeah, him. He's going to be saved. You're trying to get there through your works instead of the works of Christ. Nicodemus, he just must have been, his head must have been spinning. Jesus said, Nicodemus, anybody can be saved. Whoever believes in me. Just believe. Just believe. Not like those people we read about at the end of chapter 2. Not like those people. They were unconverted believers. Not like them. Truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that mean? Believe in his word. Believe in his works on the cross. Believe that he went to the cross and died for your sins so you could be forgiven. Believe that he rose 3 days later from the dead. Believe in the gospel and place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved. Just believe and follow him. Right? Jesus always telling us in the scriptures, follow me. Let's take a look at verses 16 and 17. Some more great news. And these verses are very familiar to you guys. Right? John 3:16. You guys all know that. Who knows John 3:16? I bet the kids know that too, John 3:16. Let's take a look at 16 and 17, because these two go together, by the way. A lot of people don't read verse 17. They just read 16, and they don't read the rest. Look at what it says. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see that, right? What does it say at the end there? Through him. Not through you, not me, myself, and I. That used to be me before I came to Christ. Me, myself, and I. Me. It's all about me. All about me and Michelle, that's it. Yeah, me, myself, and I, and Michelle. That's it. Jesus said, no, you're going to be saved through me. It's not about you anymore, right? You know, when you surrendered your life to Christ, right, you said to him that day, it's not about me anymore. It's not about me, Lord. It's all about you. That's what it means, surrender, right? When Jesus said, you must surrender your life to me, right? If anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. And follow me. You know what Jesus is telling us, right? I'm looking for a commitment from you. I went to the cross for you, and I'm looking for a commitment from you. This is why Jesus says, count up the cost before you come to me. Count up the cost before you come to me, because I'm looking for a commitment. I'm looking for you to be committed to me and spend eternity with me after that life on earth. Through God's love and grace, he gives everyone a rescue plan through his only Son, so that we could be saved and go from dead in our trespasses and sins to alive in Christ. He brings love to a whole nother level. We love, right? You love your family, right? Your kids, your grandchildren. You love them. We love them. Our granddaughter comes over. Michelle and our granddaughter comes over. We just melt. Oh, we love you so much. Right, we our grandson just turned 10 months old. We go over there, we just fall to the ground. Oh, I love you. He's just so cute. He's just just love him so much. We fight over, oh, my turn, your turn, my turn. No. He's crying, you take him. Right? We love. God's love is up here. His love is agape love. Agape love is love beyond all people. That he would give his son. I couldn't do it. I have three boys. Michelle, I have three sons. I could never do this. I could never give one of them nailed to the cross. I couldn't do it. He knows I can. He did it for me. He gave his son. I don't think a lot of people realize that. He brings love to a whole nother level. Whoever, God offers salvation to everybody. That's how merciful he is. Whoever comes to me, I will say, God is a savior by nature. He wants to save. Without Jesus coming to rescue us from our sins, we would all end up in eternal punishment. One sin gets you into hell. Man, I don't know about you, but I used that up a long time ago. Right? One sin, you're a one-way ticket to hell without Christ. Man, I used that up a long time ago. But instead, I want you to really think about this. But instead, God sent forth his son. That's the heart of the gospel right there. Someone ever ask you, what's the heart of the gospel? That's what I want you to tell them. God sent forth his son. That's the gospel right there. God sent forth his perfect son. Thank you, Lord. He bridged the gap that you and I could never fill. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve so we could become saved, born again, all through him. That's how much God loves you and me. That's how much God loves you and me, that he would send his son to go to the cross. So much so, he sent forth his son to save us. You know, someone with perfect righteousness had to take the punishment that we deserve, right? To satisfy the demand of God's justice. Remember, God is a righteous and just judge. Someone's got to pay the price. And he has to be perfect. There's only Jesus. I can't go to the cross for you. You can't go to the cross for me. We're both sinners. Someone with perfect righteousness that had never sinned had to go to the cross to satisfy the demand of God's justice. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he comes to earth to save us, to redeem us, to reconcile us back to God through him. Jesus becomes a man. He lives a perfect, righteous life that we could not live. And he goes to Calvary to die on the cross for his people. Pays our sin debt in full. Sacrificial atonement. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he's been given all authority to judge the living and the dead. The Father gave it all to the Son. You judge the world, Son. You judge the living and the dead. Which is proof. When God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, that was proof that what Jesus did for us satisfied the demand of God's justice. Amen? He doesn't raise from the dead. We're done. This is all for nothing, right? He is risen. Coming up. Without that, we're done. We're done. Right? What's Acts 4:12 say? There is no other name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved. Now, I know we still have communion to do. This is what happens when we miss a week. We've got to do a little extra. We'll get to communion, I promise you. Now listen, This is the sad section of this passage. Okay? We cannot get around it, nor will we try. Let's take a look at verses 18 and 19. The sad part is there are a lot of people that will opt for judgment instead of life. Look at verse 18 and 19. Jesus continued with, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Sad. This is a sad part of the scriptures. This is sad for us believers, because we know not everyone is going to believe and come to Christ. We know it. It's sad. We all know people like this, friends and family. Not interested. It's sad. They will refuse him. They will reject him. And it will be the biggest mistake they ever made in their life. The Bible clearly states they will face eternal judgment for rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, no one in hell can say, "I came to Jesus and he rejected me." God doesn't reject people. People reject God. Let's take a look at our last two verses here. Jesus said, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deed should be exposed." But look at verse 21. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Hallelujah. Jesus is the light, and everyone practicing evil hates the light, Jesus said. And they don't come to the light. Why? Because they love their sin. They love their sin. They like their life the way it is. "Hey, leave me alone. I don't want to change. I like my life just the way it is." They love their sin. They don't come to Christ. It's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. The light shines on their sin, exposes their sin, and they don't like it. The more they hear about Jesus, the more their sin is exposed. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a love story to God, to you, but it also, Jesus' words are very convicting, right? We're seeing this morning. Jesus' words can be very convicting, okay? You know that as a believer. You're in the scriptures. You study them every day. You know that. This is why a lot of people don't come to church. They don't read the Bible, because the light exposes the sin. They don't like it. "I'm not going to church. Pastor Sean's going to be talking about sin today. I ain't going." But listen, these are Jesus' words, not mine. These are Jesus' words. I'm just a messenger as a minister of Christ. I'm just a messenger. I'm a Christian, just like you. God has sent me here to be a minister for him, to preach his word in righteousness and truth. His glory. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Listen, sin is treason against the Holy God. Sin is so bad that Jesus had to die for it. That's how bad it is. But look at verse 21. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen." Search me through, Lord. Search my heart. Search my soul. Search my mind. Here we are, Lord. I've removed all the sin in my life. That's what repentance is. Turning from sin. You were once heading south, now you're heading north. And look at what it says at the end of that. That they may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That their deeds are being done in God. In other words, what's being done in our life is being done by God. By God. So you know when you do those nice things for people and you want to do right and what's good, right? That's God in you. He's put it on your heart to do that. That wasn't you. You didn't come up with that. Don't try taking the glory. It wasn't you. No, that's God in you. You did that nice thing because God had, that's God. He put it in your heart to do it. He did it. This is God in us. And you know the thing is, but he who does the truth comes to the light. His deeds may be clearly seen that they're being done in God. And guess what? Those types of people, they live in peace with God. They live in peace with God. Full security in Christ. Full assurance in Christ. They're at peace with God. True believers come to the light. We love the light. We love having communion with the light. We love it. We're not trying to hide anything. Here it is, Lord. You know me better than I know you, than I know myself. And when you come to the light, you find mercy, grace, forgiveness, peace, eternal life, all in Christ. True believers come to the light. Why do we come to the light? God has changed us from the inside out. And guess what? And now we rest in Christ. We rest in Christ. And we know that the safest place to be is inside the will of God. Amen? We know the safest place to be is inside the will of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for being active in our lives and drawing us near to you every day, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.